It's like Mr. Rogers in here. Puts a high neighbor, puts on his sweater.
Well, this place, Joseph.
No, here, you can put that.
What?
No, are you comfortable?
Oh. Well, you know, as comfortable.
No, yeah, there you go. There
comfortable
you go.
As a guy's been with
no,
back
slippers
no,
and
no,
cardigan
I was trying
on.
To help you. You seem yeah, like no. you're stooped over. That's
no,
why
I know. I'm from the government. I'm here to help.
All right.
But I just want you to know that it is not, it is very cold in here. It's maybe 20 below zero.
I see.
But we have four people in the room.
Okay, here we go.
And three in their shirt sleeves and sweating.
Don't worry, that's just flop sweat. You'll get used to that very quickly.
And me, skinny me, you know, freezing in here. So what do you make of that?
Well, I don't know.
I don't know. And within 24 hours of a seminar.
Well.
I didn't say anything. We just had our seminar.
Anyway, we are, it's a thrill to have you all with us. Alan Chartok is here. He is the man who is now newly warmed, as he will warm your heart over the next hour. Ray Graff is also with us, our newsman, and our special guest, the CEO of Proctor's Theater in Schenectady, New York, Philip Morris is here. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Oh, call Philip Morris.
Okay. It had to come, and we dispensed with it now. So,
now, seriously, in your life, how many times did you hear that growing up?
Oh, my entire life. I have a whole bunch of enamel signs and things that people have given me, and I have all sorts of gifts and stuff.
There you go.
My father was a Greek immigrant. His name was Muratidis, and when he emigrated in the U.S., the only way to get here was to work on an American farm because there was no family here, so he worked on an American farm, and the farmhands called him Philip Morris, and he just didn't have a clue until the first time he went to New Haven and said, What's that billboard? That's what those guys call me, isn't it?
You know, we ever since we started our panel, you were one of the first people who said, I want to do this. And it took us a while to find a date, but here we are, and I'm thrilled that you're here. So thank you very much for doing it. Let us begin and talk a little bit about a news issue that impacts you and that I think will be very interesting. I found this fascinating, and that is we're talking a lot about casino gambling in the state. We're talking about the voters having some say in this and putting more casinos in New York State to bolster the economy. You and some other, which number are you?
Dos.
There you go. Alan can now hear us now.
Oh, yeah. There I am.
I think there you go. Okay. Now Philip wants to hear us.
Okay.
And for the people who are actually hearing this, isn't this exciting?
Yes. They're turning the volume the other way, oddly enough.
So increasing casinos. Okay, let's do this. Let's do this. We want to have more casinos in the state. And then, and now it's too loud. I'll turn that down. Try it again, Alan. It's like a fitting. It's like you're for your drugs.
Can't do a thing with his girdle.
There you go. So what effect does this have on upstate? What effect does this have on venues upstate? And you, Philip Morris, have joined with other theaters and have put together basically a report that shows the impact on this. And it's fascinating.
Well, this is kind of new in the Northeast. You know, there's been the impact of the Indian casinos, and that's not new. That's been around for a while. And even though our peers, the facilities in Buffalo and in Syracuse, have talked about it, I presume, because it wasn't statewide, it didn't make as much noise. But now that there are casinos in Massachusetts and casinos in Connecticut, my peers in performing arts centers are really starting to scream because of the impact. In Hartford and Providence, they've lost about 25% of their program. And it's not what people think initially, which is, oh, it's just more competition and aren't you supposed to be competitive?
Yeah, it's restraint of fair trade, right?
Yeah, right. But it's really a license for a monopoly on gambling becoming a license for a monopoly on entertainment, as places like Foxwood and Mohegan Sun have built entertainment centers, hire talent, and pay for it not just with hard ticket sales, but because they're trying to keep people at the table. So they pay for it out of table profit, so they pay more than any of us could or would pay, and have exclusivity agreements. So those performers...
Explain that, yeah.
Yeah, those performers can't perform within 75 miles, sometimes 100 miles, of that particular venue. So in the case of Mohegan Sun, it kills Boston, Providence, and Hartford and New Haven from having those performers. And they typically have an exclusivity date range of 120 days before and 120 days after.
So if James Taylor were to play in one of those casinos, I don't think that that would happen, but he might. He might not be able to play at Tanglewood. It depends where the casino is.
Depends on the distance, but it's a good way to describe the issue. And these casinos are doing 3 and 4 nights a week of entertainment. So even the big arena, which is the Times Union Center of Providence, and I'm sorry I don't recall the name of it, but run by SMG, the same company that runs the Times Union Center.
It's the Dunkin' has Donuts
lost,
Center? Isn't
I think
that
that's what it is, Dunkin' Donuts Center. Has lost 25 or 30% of its program because it can't even, it's not even allowed to buy it. Never mind, could it compete when in fact the reason the payments and fees are happening is different than just hard ticket sales.
And how many seats, Philip, can one of these places have? First of all, how many does Proctor's have?
Proctor's is 2,600.
It's a lot of
the
seats.
The Palace is 2,600. Well, it depends. When Turning Stone first opened, it had 900 seats. So Turning Stone is a little bit 15 minutes from downtown Utica. And Utica, 4 years ago, reopened after a massive fundraising effort and expanded Stanley Theater.
Right.
At 900 seats, though, we in Schenectady, Proctors, are impacted by the shows that they get exclusive rights for. Things we might have chosen to present that Turning Stone presents in 900 seats and I can't get, which of course has meant Stanley virtually has no product. They have a Broadway product, and that's it. There's nothing else.
Because I was going to say, it does seem that there also is a difference in the type of performer that a casino would want as opposed to what you would want. But meaning, there, well, you have Anything Goes that opened yesterday, they're not going to book that.
Right, but...
But somebody like...
Diana Krall plays at casinos.
Right.
You know,
right.
What we call in the business, we call it one night stands.
Yeah.
I'm sorry about that. But comedy and concerts and those kinds of things. Now, some casinos have done Broadway, but largely that's Atlantic City and it's
like Bill Cosby. Nevada. If you wanted to have Bill Cosby and he was doing Turning Stone or Mohegan, you couldn't do it.
I couldn't do it.
Now, I mean, are these exclusivity agreements hard and fast and ironclad? Mm-hmm. Because, for instance, a few years ago, wife and I saw Steely Dan at Foxwoods.
Yeah.
They also played Boston later in the tour. I mean, that's a stone's throw away. So, I mean, clearly they must have had the juice to say, we're regulars in Boston.
Or was
we're
it within the 120 days?
Or it could have been that they were presented by the same presenter, which is the other side of the equation. Live Nation ends up often, and Live Nation being the biggest example, booking whole tours so that nobody else can get them. And if they're also the booker for Mohegan Sun, which they are, they might, because it's their own contract with themselves, say, well, I don't care about the exclusivity deal. We'll put them in Mohegan Sun and we'll put them at City Center in Boston because we're Live Nation and we can do that, which actually makes
do
the
do SPAC,
problem worse.
Are they SPAC also,
yes.
right?
Yeah, they
yes.
do SPAC also, right.
And are they, many consider them to be the devil. Do you feel that way? Live Nation. Not Steely Dan.
No, you know, a long time ago when Live Nation, has
was
a separate
Clear Channel
division.
and then now Live Nation.
Yeah, a long time ago they were doing Broadway, then they stopped for a while, now they're doing Broadway again. I don't think it's the evil empire, but I do think that you have to be strong to be independent of that, and it's our desire to be independent of it, so you have to work with your peers who are independent in order to have any hope of saying, wait a minute, you can't just steal that entire tour and not give it to any of us. There's 40 of us over here you got to include. And that's the kind of thing that's required.
So I wanted to know what the answer is. I mean, you guys are obviously banding together. You have a program. What do you want to have get done?
Yeah. Well, Massachusetts has kind of led the charge here because this hasn't happened in Pennsylvania as the Pennsylvania casinos have emerged, and our peers in Pennsylvania are starting to feel the pain of that. But in Massachusetts, seven theaters united and went to the legislature and the governor and said, you've got to protect these facilities because they're the core of our downtowns. And most of the casinos are not in downtowns and aren't going to be, and certainly ours aren't going to be from what it looks like. Even if there's one in Saratoga, it's not going to be downtown in Saratoga at the Racino. And these seven theaters managed to get from the governor and the legislation a few key points. One, the casinos had a limit of 900-seat facilities they could build. What really kicked this off for me is as the Racino announced a 24,000-square-foot entertainment center, which amounts to 2,200
seats. Where? In Saratoga?
In Saratoga. Uh-huh. Casino. And 2,200 seats in Saratoga is a big deal. Big deal for SPAC, for the Palace, for Proctor's, for even the TU Center. Certainly for Glens Falls Center, too.
Yeah.
But that limit, 900 seats. The second thing it got was that...
Now, we were talking about who got what where.
These theaters in Massachusetts got in the legislation that casinos had a limit of 900 seats.
And this is what you are proposing in New York.
Well, if it's all right, I'll explain that in a second. I'll just explain Mass.
Well, explain this. We'll take a break and then we'll come back, but go ahead.
And the second thing they got that was really critical is that the casino bidders had to have partnership agreements with local impacted performing arts centers. In some cases, that means the local performing arts center is actually booking their 900-seat theater. In some cases, the big, like MGM, is saying, we'll put program in your big building so it's not left dark. Because that's what we want. We just want to be lit. We want to have activity. And then the third thing they did is they made it illegal to have exclusivity agreements. In fact, what it says is if a performer performs in a casino, not only is there no time or distance exclusivity, but the next time that performer is in that marketplace, the local performing arts center has the right of first refusal.
Do we have to take a break?
A break, and then so keep that question in mind. Okay. And then as soon as we come back to the break, I'll immediately say, Ray?
Okay.
All right. We have a wonderful panel this morning. Philip Morris is our guest, the CEO of Proctor's Theater in Schenectady, New York. Alan is here. Ray is here. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll continue after this short break.
Support for WAMC comes from the New York State Bar Association's Lawyer Referral and Information Service, serving the public for over 30 years, nysba.org/lawyer-referral. The Olana Partnership, presenting Painting the Living Landscapes of Frederick Church with Evelyn Dunphy. Registration now open, olana.org. And SPAC, presenting the New York City Ballet, featuring the Ballet Gala, the Ruby Hall, July 13th, with SPAC Junior Committee, hosting the Lawn Party, Fireworks, After Party Dancing, and more. This year, GE sponsors kids and Citizens Bank sponsors students. SPAC.org for tickets.
Welcome back to our roundtable panel. We are talking about the effect of casino gambling in upstate New York and specifically in upstate New York theaters. That's just one issue that we'll cover today, but it's the issue we're covering now. CEO of Proctor's Theater in Schenectady, Philip Morris, joins us. Also, Alan Chartok, Ray Graff, and we welcome your input. Roundtable at WAMC.org. You can comment on our webpage, comment on our Facebook page. You can tweet us at WAMC Roundtable.
Okay.
When we last left, Ray was about to ask.
Okay, so Philip laid out sort of a consortium of theaters who are banding together in hopes of gaining some juice against what is a growing issue in that there are more casinos, there are more entertainment venues, and it's a problem. And so basically, if I have it correct, you're talking to lawmakers about some ways to fight this. And my question, and I often take the contrarian position just for fun.
Maybe.
Well, my question would be, if Ray owns a hamburger stand and Joe puts a hamburger stand up 10 miles away or down the block, why is it within my rights to say, well, gosh, I'm going to go to the legislature and say, I don't want any more hamburger stands here. This is not right.
Absolutely. But if you owned a hamburger stand and Joe opened a hamburger stand and had a deal so that he got all the meat, what would you do?
You're a brilliant
You
man.
Couldn't get hamburger meat anymore.
In other words, Philip, you're a brilliant man.
That's restraint of trade. I couldn't agree with you more about the concept of the exclusivity agreement, which doesn't allow anybody into your theaters if they've played in one. I think that ought to be overridden by the legislature. I think it's fair game. I am more concerned that you want to limit the number of people who can sit in an auditorium at that place, because then I think it gets closer to Ray's hamburger analogy.
Yeah, I understand.
You had me at hamburger. Please continue.
I understand the sense of that being unfair. What's interesting is I don't think the casino operators want to be entertainment operators. They want to run gaming, and the entertainment is around a break in gaming
and bringing people in
and letting people have a break and then go back to the tables. And the question becomes, is 900 people enough, 900 seats enough to entertain somebody in a rotation basis so that they stay at the gaming tables yet not compete with? And what's interesting to me about this is
you have used the word compete, you know that.
Yeah, I have. Yeah. And not compete for product and compete with the publicly invested facilities. You know, if we were the hamburger stand and it was 100%, this is a private enterprise and you two hamburger stands are going to beat each other up and I'm going to steal all your hamburger and you're going to have to become a lobster stand, you know, all right. But every facility that's impacted by a 75-mile radius from these proposed casino facilities is a downtown facility, Stanley, the Clements Center, the Shays in Buffalo, that has had public and private and community commitment to help grow their downtown. So, in fact, what you're dealing with, I think, is the conflict of two policy agendas. The Cuomo administration, every administration, has tried to grow and maintain our downtowns. The Cuomo administration thinks that casinos are going to be good for upstate economy. I'm not going to argue with that. But now there's an intersection where those two things, one's going to harm the other. And that's where I think we need to contain it. Because I don't think it's wrong to say we don't want to harm our downtowns.
Right. But exclusivity agreements, they're not laws, right? They're agreements, private parties. So why?
They can be a law, though. You could make a law.
It's not a law now, though, right?
Right now, the bullies are saying, Proctors, you can't have
right.
this
they,
guy.
They got it in Massachusetts, right?
Yeah, they got it in Massachusetts.
And by the way, in Massachusetts, I just want to point something out, very important. In Massachusetts, they're talking about bringing the casinos into the downtowns.
Right.
Huge difference.
In Springfield, which is a big difference.
It would seem to me that your group, this group here, Upstate Theater Coalition for a Fair Game, would have a very reasonable chance of talking to the artists and saying, I'm sure the artists would be just as happy to play 73 miles away. In other words, exclusivity agreements hurt them to some extent as well.
And we only have about 30 seconds, so we can come back.
That's an interesting question, and, you know, we're not so far down the evolutionary path that I can answer it exactly, though I will say that in Buffalo, which is fairly far, they're 10 years into a casino with major entertainment, they've learned that there are some performers who actually prefer to not be ignored at the casino, even though they're paid more. Oh. So there are some performers who are going back to Shays and not going to Niagara Falls. And Diana Krall would be one who says, I want people to hear me. Not a lot, but a little bit. And maybe as it matures, some of that would emerge.
Yeah. Although
but
every time
in the meantime, might take a decade.
Yeah, because every time, like, I've been at a casino in Niagara, it's like Gabe Kaplan playing. You know, and, you know, not to undermine
yeah,
that,
I mean,
but, you know.
Welcome back, Kaplan. He's great. You know, boy, I'll tell you what.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back. Philip Morris is here, Ray Graff, Alan Chartok, and we welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll take this short news break. Well,
the things
that
you can hear during a break. Hey.
Yes, welcome back to our roundtable panel. We have a special guest with us. Philip Morris is here. He is the CEO of Proctor's Theater in Schenectady, New York, WAMC's Alan Chartok.
Don't do that.
And newsman Ray Graff here as well. We've been talking about this Upstate Theater Coalition for a Fair Game, basically talking about the effect that casinos would have. I want to move the conversation slightly, not a lot, but slightly, which is there's an article in Cranes today about what what is actually being done after the governor has talked about engaging in this experiment to see if a fraction of New York City's $52 million of having those visitors consider going upstate as well, in addition to. So there is an effort to send people to Schenectady and Utica and Syracuse and Buffalo. We have long heard over the last couple of years, especially during an economic downturn, that we should use our art centers, use our theaters as incubators for economic growth. And we should put money into those theaters. Proctor saw a beautiful renovation. Palace saw a beautiful renovation. We certainly saw it at the Colonial in Pittsfield. And you put all of this money, you mentioned the public and the private money that goes into these facilities, and then to turn around and say, okay, but now we're going to compete with you. So you were mentioning that duality, and I'm interested of how you feel, because you've been helped at some point.
By public funds, by private funds.
And now what do you do?
And we've made an impact on our community, the broader capital region, and in downtown Schenectady.
I'm sure you have a number. When you have a show like Anything Goes that comes in, it's a Broadway show, comes in for a week, what impact does that have on the economy?
The right answer is to ask any restaurateur downtown. There wouldn't be what there is in downtown Schenectady without what we do. And I think that's also true around the Palace and Cap Rep in downtown Albany, that some of that simply wouldn't exist.
Which is interesting. I think we ought to explain to people, I'm sorry, from the Department of the Self-Serving, how close Schenectady really, it's always seemed to me to be sort of far from Albany, but it's not, right? I mean, we're talking about a couple of minutes.
We're talking one exit. I mean, you know, anybody who thinks it's too far away, I got here in 22 minutes during rush hour.
Well, you know, Albany, Schenectady, Troy. I mean, we lumped them together as the Tri-City area, as George Carlin said on your stage many, many years ago. That's because they call it the Tri-Cities because together they're trying to make one good city.
That's awful, Joe. Just awful. Are you listening, Mayor?
I'm quoting Carlin.
That's right.
I'm quoting a comedy god. So,
In the context of trying to grow tourism, trying to grow upstate economy, that's part of the reason we made a 5-year commitment to Cirque El Waz, to a 3-week residency, to starting a Cirque camp, which is actually nearly sold out, to having our Cirque performers for 3 weeks in August, which will be a real experiment for us. But trying to say, yes, our downtowns, our communities can be part of the tourism business. Now, there's a huge amount of tourism that comes from New York City already, obviously, and not just to the Berkshires, though in the cultural world, it's a little more obvious in the Berkshires.
Right.
So the trick here is, can visitors feel the same kind of desire to come upstate that, in fact, downstaters feel? Well, it's going to be interesting because people go to New York to go to New York, but people also visit. I mean, I would think if there was a bullet train to any place out of New York City that could get there quickly, that place would end up with international visitors. Because if you went to Bavaria or Paris, if there was an easy way to get to a place that looked interesting, you'd go. It'd be part of your itinerary.
Sure.
And I actually think, oddly enough, the canal offers some opportunity for mentally defining destination.
The Erie Canal.
The Erie Canal.
Erie.
And not necessarily because people are going to get on a boat and go there, but to define upstate thing.
You make a very interesting point because, you know, we have Julie Boyd and her phenomenal Barrington stage in Pittsfield, and a lot of people said it won't work. It used to be summer stock basically in Egremont, Sheffield, Massachusetts, which is, you know, bucolic. Right. And she made this move, and it's working, into downtown Pittsfield, which has its issues. It's a beautiful little city, but it has its issues. And it's working. So your point is well taken.
So I think the governor's not wrong. We've got New York City, we ought to be taking New York City has the opportunity to support even more of upstate than it does.
Yonkers.
But it's got to be really smart about it.
Yeah, what's in it for them?
And transportation is going to be a big piece. Well, actually, I think it helps increase the appeal of New York City as a destination, to have 1, 2, 3 things that are significant, that are part of the plan. So, I mean, what guest comes to the United States? Well, no, hold on. What guest comes to the United States for, you know, they think it might be once in a decade visit and doesn't go to New York City and want to go to Niagara Falls.
And want to go to Schenectady.
Right. No, Niagara Falls. Yeah. They're thinking, I'm going to two of the world's
you're right about that.
Spectacular things. Yeah. But to get from New York City to Niagara Falls is a plane flight.
Well, you know, you
getting
make,
out to Queens. Da, da, da.
You know, I'm looking into a trip to London, and then with the Channel being like a 2-hour ride, bring you right into Paris, you know, that becomes very alluring. You're like, well, why not?
Go to London and go see three cathedral cities, right? You don't think twice about it. Go to Rome and go to two other hill towns. You know, come to New York and see the most reforested part of the world, right? The Berkshires, the Catskills, and the Adirondacks. We are in the middle of the most reforested part of the planet. Well, that's an amazing thing to sell if you can get here fast.
Yeah.
But you'd have to take away the bicycle path.
Yes. The rail trail?
Yeah,
sure.
We in Great Barrington would love to be able to go back and forth to New York a little faster than going to Wasaic. Now we have this green versus railroad thing that's developing. It's a mighty bloody battle.
And it seems like there's always going to be battles. There's always been upstate, downstate battles. There's always been, you know, economic battles between the cities. You mentioned, I now don't remember if you said this on the air or off the air, but about how all of the theaters is really the first time you've all gotten together and talked and gotten to a room and had. So, I mean, there's some good that comes out of that. I want to get real quick back to the exclusivity thing because, I mean, you're all in on that, meaning that there wouldn't be an exclusive from the different theaters. They could play one and the other because you all have that now, right?
Exclusivity happens now, but you know what? Those of us who are close, for example, Chris Silva at the Bar Devon in Poughkeepsie.
Wonderful place.
He could exclude me, I could exclude him, and we never do. Yeah. You know, we just know we're not.
No, but Joe's point is nicely put, but Joe's point is a good one, and Ray went, that was good too. Is that, you know, while you're yelling
about playing our parts, Ray.
While you play the casinos for using their exclusivity card, for those who are just tuning in, meaning that nobody can play there for 120 days. A performer can't before or after or around and the rest. So that if the Colonial might have somebody, can't get somebody because they were in a Tanglewood. Okay, so you have exclusivity yourself, Joe says, and you
know what? We don't use it. There's a little bit of that
you
happens
define
between
the word largely.
Well, there's a little bit that happens between Proctor's and the Palace.
Right.
And the Palace is not the booker typically, it's a private promoter. And there's a need for exclusivity there in some ways it is too close. I mean, it would be stupid for the agent to not tell one or the other that they're the next night they're going to be in the other place.
Capital Steps often is around all over the place.
Right, but if it was a Friday and Saturday night, it would be terrible. And I didn't know he sold me Saturday and didn't tell me he sold Albany Friday. So in that regard, the exclusivity is actually used in a different way. It's helping the marketplace. And then those things that really the exclusivity doesn't matter.
Do you have a law degree?
No.
You're one smart guy. You can argue. Nice.
You know, and it's if you're an NBC affiliate, if you're the NBC affiliate in Albany, nobody can come in and have another. You can't have an NBC affiliate in Saratoga because you have market exclusivity. The only network entity that's dumb enough not to have that is NPR. Right?
Yes, I suppose so. NPR, if it had its way, would, of course, be like Robin Hood, take everything from everybody and keep everything. But that's another show.
But I mean, if you have the people that want to have and they have NPR and then but you pay based on listeners.
Yeah.
You know, and but anybody can come in. So I mean, like we can't have an exclusivity for what we do.
Oh, I see what you mean. So in other words, if we play All Things Considered, and then some smaller station starts up, we don't get to say, no, you can't play that.
Unlike a station that would open up in Saratoga and say, okay, you know, now we're going to play American Idol or whatever on our network.
Yeah.
So you can watch us instead of watching them.
You make a very good series of points.
Yes.
I'm not sure how it relates to Jerry Seinfeld playing Turning Stone and then playing to Proctor's.
I'm just talking about the issue of exclusivity of that. Sometimes it is important to have that. But also there's some that can play in that game and there's some that can't. That was my only point.
Yeah. Good point.
When you think about how this is all going to shake out, I mean, what we have learned about casino gaming in the state and in the country is that this is a really slow-moving train.
Yeah, though it doesn't sound like it's going to be moving that slowly in our state. I mean, we have a referendum in November. Certainly the
By the way, not a done deal that it's going to pass.
Not at all.
No, but we do. Didn't it pass in two successive legislatures?
Correct.
Right?
So it's going
to
be.
And now it comes to the people.
Yes,
it's going to be
or
there.
The peoples.
Right. and so it'll be it'll be there. Our Fair Game Group does not want to oppose it. I mean, you know, that's not the point. We're not trying to second guess what other people think they know or do know or have seen. I mean, that's crazy. We just want to say here are some fall-offs that do not seem to meet public policies that already exist. And can we protect those? And yet, in some ways, the referendum...
I'm sorry to interrupt, but can you expand on that a minute? So you don't want to... You don't want to oppose it, yet there are questions that you have. So is the question that is going before the voters still leave it open that you're down the line that your issues can be addressed?
Well, we met with the governor's office about a week and a half before the final bill went to the legislature for adoption. And in the governor's gaming office, the people we met with understood the issue after a half an hour. It took a little bit of conversation, but understood the issue. And in fact, the final bill includes language that was not there originally that includes negotiated agreements with impacted performing arts centers as part of the scoring for successful bidders. So the final bill has a bit of an opener in it. It's just an opener. It's not as thorough as what Massachusetts finally had. But an opener could be good enough. And now we're going to be spending our time trying to talk with the administration about how can we, how might you administer this? How can you help us see a solution to all the parts of this before the referendum? That's what we're hoping we can get that
well,
done.
Well, okay, but assuming it passes, and I think what you're telling us is that Saratoga, in order to get its casino, if I'm hearing you correctly, I think, would have to say, we will negotiate with our neighbors on exclusivity. Is that right?
On exclusivity, potentially on management, on a bunch of things.
Now, let us note, of course, that Saratoga already has a Racino, and they want to expand, and you're talking about their proposal to put in a 2,200-seat theater. So do you...
Our theory is that... assuming the referendum passes, that the Racino decision was a preemptive strike in order to get the casino, and that they're not going to build this 2,200-seat facility by this coming November. And if the law passes, they're not going to risk, if there were, let's say, a 900-seat limit, let's just say, they're not going to risk the ability to get the casino for building a 2,200-seat entertainment facility, because, in fact, they're lost leaders. They don't make money at these things.
Yeah, I'm going to make a prediction. There ain't going to be any restriction on a 900, making it a 900. I think you may get something on your exclusivity, because you're right. I don't know that you're going to be able to tell them how many seats to build.
Yeah, you may be right. And we're still talking about the pieces we want. We've looked at the mass legislation. We like parts of it. There are parts of it that maybe don't make sense. Our agenda is to be open. Not to be paid off. It's to be open. We want facilities that are open. The Stanley spent $20 million. It is now largely closed. We don't want that to happen.
Stanley is
in Utica,
Utica, which is killed by Turning Stone 15 minutes away.
Yeah.
And so with that in our minds, we're talking about what are the relationships we could create that allow us to stay open and be lit and have good things in our communities and our theaters.
We're going to take a break. We'll continue. WAMC, it's roundtable at WAMC.org. If you would like to weigh in, we'd love to hear from you. We'll return after the short break.
Support for WAMC comes from Norman Rockwell Museum, Stockbridge, Massachusetts, presenting the opening of its new exhibition, Jarvis Rockwell, Maya, Illusion, and Us, on Saturday, July 13th, nrm.org. The Blue Marble, Amherst, Massachusetts, featuring handcrafted jewelry from around the world, a world of gifts, thebluemarble.biz. And Stram Center for Integrative Medicine, Delmar, New York, and Bennington, Vermont, offering naturopathic primary care, community acupuncture, medical massage, and holistic treatment for complicated health disorders, stramcenter.com.
Welcome back to our roundtable panel. Alan Chartok is here, Ray Graff is here, and Proctor's Theater CEO Philip Morris is with us. And is that your title? Is it Proctor's Theater?
Actually, it's just Proctor's.
Proctor's, because it includes Cat
all
Rap
the facilities. Well, that and it's the GE Theater. And once we did the expansion, we called the theater the main stage.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We were out there for Pete Seeger. It was unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
That was terrific.
And the GE Theater is great. I saw Godzilla Fest with my son
was
there.
Was it fun?
Oh, yeah. It was amazing. I think I went 2 years in a row. It's great.
Godzilla Fest.
Hey, we use that room 21 times a week. Yeah. Think about it.
Really?
Three times a day. Something in the morning, a conference in the afternoon, a movie at night.
How many
that
seats?
That room, 430.
It's terrific.
It's a great it's a great facility. Mm-hmm. And it's very comfortable. It's just very cool. Yeah. So you go, you have a show. We're going to have one of the actors from Anything Goes coming on the show later on.
Yeah.
Fred Applegate. So that show opens up. Now, how does that sell in the summer? Because it used to be, in the good old days, Proctors would start their season in September. You would end in April or so, April or May. And then, thank God, you got air conditioning. and now you can do stuff in the summer. So is it paying off?
It's been a mixed bag. We've wanted to, you know, you spend $40 million on a facility. You don't want it unused. It's like a factory that's idle, you know?
Right.
So 4 years ago, we entered the summer market. We did terribly, absolutely terribly. It was a disaster. But we made a two-year commitment toward it. The second year, we did a lot better. Last year was kind of okay. And this year, with Anything Goes and Cirque, and the commitment to Cirque is really different than just buying another week of something. It's a real long-term commitment to opening their North American tours, to building relationship, building a school. So it's a very different thing. And I'm feeling very good about that in the long term. The summer Broadway is up and down, and it's hard to figure out why. I mean, West Side Story did gangbusters.
It's tough to compete. I mean, I know even for myself, I have trouble saying, well, I would like to see Anything Goes, but then you have all this stuff over in the Berkshires, all this stuff going down, and all the theater groups are fully operational and they're doing, you know, their stuff, and they're there for a week. So, you know.
The thing that we noticed, though, is that
there's just so many
Broadway
shows you can go to.
Doesn't exist in the summer.
Right.
So we kind of went a week of it or 2 weeks of it might work, because in the whole Berkshires, Saratoga, the whole 150 miles, there's no summer Broadway.
Whoa. I mean, I sat at Oklahoma the other night. It was magnificent.
And you have some new shows that open in the Berkshires.
Yeah.
I get it. But the sort of the traditional big.
You're talking about the touring companies.
Touring
you're even talking about Broadway itself, which is pretty much shuttered until the fall.
In New York?
It's not.
They'd live for summer in some ways.
Yes, but they don't. But they don't. They don't open new shows.
No, right.
You don't have the major. There is one opening, First States. But other than that, there's really no openings.
Right.
The season doesn't really officially get underway till the fall.
Right.
Yeah. So is that competition to you, or you?
What you mean, Broadway?
No, I'm talking about the other venues in the region, because it would seem like ultimately that could help you when you come in of I've noticed that in if I look in your program, if I look in the Colonials program, you sort of all support one another of trying to get people across and looking at different things.
I think the scene in the Capital Region in Berkshire's in relationships to one another is spectacular. You know, we do this 24-hour play festival with all the artists, all the producers and artists and organizations in the Berkshires and the Capital Region. We have good relationships. And I don't think there's one of us who wants the other one harmed. I really don't. So is it competition? Well, I suppose on any given night, if we're stupid and put the same kind of thing on, you sit there and go, God darn it, why don't we talk a little bit more than we do already? But on the other side of it, describing this region as a creative place requires that things are working in Williamstown and Pittsfield and downtown Albany and Saratoga. I mean, how else could we be a creative place? And I think that the 20-year a field of vision is we're going to be a very creative place. That's what, you know, when I think about the nanotech stuff and I hear people talk about a STEM, I go, stop. It's STEAM. It's the arts are part of this. Creativity is part of it. You can't have people building new nanotech, biotech stuff who don't have a brain aren't being creative. And so we are helping define that creative environment, creative culture.
Sure. When you think about in our last minute here, ultimately, you're feeling pretty optimistic about the future.
I feel pretty optimistic about the future. Now that you know,
well,
the world is
some
frightening.
Serious concern.
Said with some conviction.
The world is frightening. You know, and we didn't get into world events, but they're frightening.
Yeah.
But for our place in the planet, I have a pretty positive outlook for it. Yeah.
It's a delight to have you here. You'll come back, and then we'll just talk about other stuff.
Well, he's smart.
Yeah, we love
Philip. And he can come and talk about things.
All right,
you know,
other stuff. Because I know you probably have a lot to say about all these other issues. But
that we never got to.
We'll save them tomorrow. Right. That's a great thing about the show. We always have tomorrow.
Up to a point, I'm sure.
Philip, thank you very much.
Thank you very
Proctors.
Much for having
Proctors.org for more information. And if you want to check out Anything Goes, we'll be talking to them coming up in about an hour or so. Proctors.org. Alan, Ray, Philip, thank you very much. Yeah. The roundtable continues after this short break.